This is the week they raise interest rates in Washington. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Jerome Powell chairs his first interest rate meeting at the Federal Reserve this week with a verdict due Wednesday. You heard it here. The cost of borrowing will be guided higher this week. Let's check in with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Hi there.
Good morning.
So we have this Federal Reserve interest rate meeting this week. You think that is influencing some of the psychology here?
Well, we know that they're going to raise interest rates this week. They're not handing out candy anymore. They're taking it away. And in fact, they are probably going to signal a slightly faster pace of interest rate hikes for this year and next as well. So that could be contributing to some nerves in the market.
And also, I mean, it's not like Washington these days is a fixture of certainty for people looking for something to hang on to.
Absolutely. We now have a looming uncertainty from trade policy, and we just don't know where the dust is going to settle. We don't know what industries are going to be affected, how far-reaching it's going to be, and we're not going to have resolution to that anytime soon. So this is a new element of uncertainty that, in general, isn't very business-friendly, so not great for the markets.
Economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Generic drugs are cheaper, but what's with these coupons to make non-generics seem cheaper? Drug companies like them, insurers do not, with patients stuck between. Today, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has the first of two stories from our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia.
At their best, drug coupons give people access to super expensive drugs with no generic equivalents, like Stelara for Crohn's disease. With coupons, the drug maker picks up most of the consumer's share of the tab, says University of Pennsylvania's David Grandy.
A coupon may be the difference between a patient getting or not getting a drug that they may really benefit from.
At their worst, coupons do little more than pad drug maker profits. Since coupons first hit the scene in 2006, companies have issued cards before patents expired to fend off new generics. USC economist Jeffrey Joyce.
All these coupons are doing is trying to prevent the consumer from going and purchasing the lower cost generic.
And it works. Harvard economist Limor Daphne found drug makers hauled in as much as $2.7 billion between 2007 and 2010 by keeping people on branded drugs.
The coupons are a way to make the patient not care how expensive the drug is, but the buck stops somewhere. Somebody is paying that high price.
That somebody is us. Typically, the more an insurer pays this year, the higher premiums will be the next. So insurers fight unnecessary spending, like buying expensive branded drugs when you don't have to. But research firm IQVIA Institute reports coupon use is up. As of 2016, one in five prescriptions for people with private insurance was filled with one.
It's not an easy problem to say who the winners and losers are. What is clear is that patients are kind of caught in the middle.
University of Pennsylvania's David Grandy says, really, consumers are trapped in a price war between insurers and drug makers. Patients like low-cost drugs, but coupons allow the drug companies to keep prices up and drive premiums higher. The problem? Consumers like Juliana Keeping have come to depend on them.
I have to rely on these things in order to get my son medicine.
Keeping, who lives outside Washington, D.C., says her five-year-old son takes Pertzi, a digestive enzyme for his cystic fibrosis. Without the coupon, Keeping says they'd pay $1,300 a month until they met their deductible.
It should not be normal to need a big coupon, but right now that's what we're living with. So, you know, anything that helps is a big boost to my family.
Insurers have launched a new attack on coupons that could force people to pay thousands more than they do today. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Our series 10 years after the financial crisis is called Divided Decade, and three of the top people tasked with keeping the financial system from collapsing completely 10 years ago have been talking with us. Back then, Ben Bernanke was running the Fed, Timothy Geithner was running the powerful New York Fed, and Henry Paulson was U.S. Treasury Secretary. The three were in an expansive mood when Marketplace's Kai Ryssdal did a roundtable with them. Listen to what Paulson, a Republican and former head of Goldman Sachs, has to say about what he's worried about now, something we've been covering extensively here. The economy not working for too many people, coupled with dysfunction in politics, coupled with technology, not just creating but competing for jobs.
When you look at automation and the impact on wages that's coming from that, when you look at the changing nature of work in America, by 2020, half of Americans won't be working for companies. They'll be self-employed. And so the policies we had that used to work for this country aren't working as well. And so the Americans that know that their political system isn't working for them, that pushes them to push their politicians in political corners. And so to me, the economic issues are the flip side of political issues. And so how to get our economy working for more Americans is the number one question I have.
Henry Paulson, who ran Treasury under George W. Bush. Check out the extended conversation on the Marketplace PM show later today. As for technology competing for American jobs, check out my audio documentary, Robot Proof Jobs. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.